Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Book of the Acts of the Apostles, and to the chapter number 2. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow, please, just in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee afresh tonight for the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy Word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast promised to save souls even through the foolishness of preaching. Lord, You said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Father, we pray that Thou will take Thine own Word tonight, and that Thou, Lord, will bless it to every heart, and write it indelibly, and apply it effectually to every soul in this meeting tonight, as Thou would see the need from the very youngest to the oldest. Lord, use Thy precious Word, Lord, to speak to the unconverted, and to draw them savingly and believingly unto Thyself, even in salvation. Lord, bless Thy Word to the hearts of Your people, to the building up of every child of God in this meeting in their most holy faith. And Lord, use Thy Word, O God, to magnify and to exalt and honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh from every sin and stain. Fill me, O God, afresh with Thy Holy Spirit, and pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon hearer alike. And Lord, give all needed and necessary help, Lord, for remaining moments, Lord, of this meeting. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for this evening that we want to look at with you is the verse number 21 of Acts chapter number 2. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, speaking of this changing world, the hymn writer says, "Change and decay in all around I see." And by those words, they really speak of a world where nothing stays the same, where everything is transitory and changing day by day. And that is true. However, the same cannot be said about God's so great salvation. You see, the Bible says that the foundation of God, it standeth sure. And God's salvation is the only sure anchor in this fleeting and in this changing world. And this is the great truth that is highlighted before us by the Apostle Peter in the words of our text here tonight in verse 21 of Acts chapter 2. When he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now in this chapter here before us, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And you'll notice that in his sermon he rebukes those unbelieving Jews who scorned the fact that the apostles were able to speak the gospel with the tongues of other nations. You see, in the day of Pentecost, God poured out His Spirit and He gave His servants that gift for that particular time to proclaim the gospel through the tongue to the language of other nations. And the Jews mocked this. They said these men must be drunk with wine. You see that in verse 13, where it says, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter rebukes them. Look at verse 15. He says, "These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." And following that rebuke, Peter then tells his hearers how God had promised to pour out His Holy Spirit in these last days upon His people and upon His church. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on My servants and on My handmaidens I will pour out in those days of My Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And following on from that, Peter then speaks about God's judgment day, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in great glory. And you see that in verses 19 and 20, where he says, "And I will show wonders in heaven," he's speaking here of the Lord, "and signs in the earth, Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And what a day that will be, the day of the Lord, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and in great glory to judge this evil and ungodly world. And then in verse 21, the words of our text, Peter there speaks about God's salvation. And in particular, he speaks of those who shall be saved at the return of Christ. When he says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And there in those words before us, you'll see how Peter speaks about the absolute certainty of God's salvation. Tonight, men and women, young people, boys and girls in our meeting, it is this great matter of God's salvation that I want us to think about. You see, if a person is to be saved, if a person is to be sure of heaven on that great and notable day of the Lord, then they must have God's salvation within their heart and life and soul. And that being the case, I want us then just to look at God's salvation and what God would teach us about it, even from the words of this great text tonight. Notice first of all here the importance of salvation. Verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the importance here of salvation is highlighted and pinpointed by that final word in our text, that word "saved." What a word it is. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What does that word "saved" mean? What's the importance of that word "saved"? Well, that word "saved" there, it means to be delivered from hell. It means to be made sure of heaven at the return of Christ. You think of how the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples this very assurance when he said in John 14, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And there he was assuring the disciples that they would be saved from hell, from a lost eternity, and that they would be sure of heaven and everlasting life and glory. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. This is why the matter of your salvation is so important. Yes, salvation for you means you've been delivered from the eternal judgment of hell. It means you've been delivered from the eternal fires and the wrath of God and a lost eternity in hell. It means you having eternal life and a place in God's eternal heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christy the Lord. And my, if this is to be so, my friend, then you must have all your sins forgiven by God. Why do I say that? Because God will allow no unrepentant, unforgiven sinner into his heaven. The Bible speaks of heaven and says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." My, if you are to be saved from hell, if you are to be sure of heaven, then you must have your sins forgiven by God. You see, since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, way back at the very beginning and dawn of time, all mankind has sinned against God in thought, in word, and in deed. You see, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You think of these Jews in particular here to whom Peter was preaching. Yes, they were outwardly a devoutly religious people. Yet they were a people nonetheless who had sinned and had sin in their heart and life and had sinned against God. And Peter here and in his preaching, he highlights their sin and their very rejection of Christ and in their very crucifixion of Christ. For these were the people who said of Christ, away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us. They said, crucify him, let his blood be in us and on our children. Look at how Peter makes reference to that at the end of verse number 23 here. He's speaking about Christ, he says, him ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Yes, this people to whom Peter was preaching, they had sinned against God and thought and word and a deed. That was their character. That was their nature. That was their state before God. And likewise, friend, at our meeting tonight, let me say this. Let me make it abundantly clear that you and I, each one of us also, are guilty of sin. You and I also have sinned against God in thought and word and deed. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And friend, understand this, that if you are to be in God's heaven, if you are to be delivered from going down into the pit, down into the lake of fire, and be delivered from the wrath to come and a lost sinner's hell, if you're to be delivered from that place of endless punishment and torment for sin, then, my friend, you must know your sins forgiven, put away by God. In other words, you must be saved. Oh, this is why this word of salvation is so important. Oh, the importance of it. You must be in God's heaven. If you are to be in God's heaven, your sins must all be forgiven by God. The importance here of salvation. But notice, secondly, tonight, notice the foundation here as well of salvation. Look at what Peter says. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'll see the foundation for salvation there in that little phrase in the middle of verse 21 where Peter speaks of the name of the Lord. There you have the foundation for salvation. By that reference there to the name of the Lord, it speaks to us of God's saving grace displayed in the person, displayed in the work of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for guilty sinners like you and I. My the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you tonight, is the only foundation for salvation. There is no other foundation apart from Christ. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone is the only foundation for salvation. You remember those well-known words that Peter was to utter just over a chapter or two from our Bible reading tonight, and Acts chapter 4, verse 12, speaking of Jesus Christ. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He is the only foundation for salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and sinful man. Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He says in the book of Isaiah, beside me there is no Savior. And my, it is only through the shed blood of Christ, shed upon the cross of Calvary, that the sinner can have his sins blotted out before Almighty God. The Bible declares the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Friend, it is only through the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ alone, that your sins can be forgiven, blotted out, cancelled out before Almighty God. My, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can have peace with God. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And mine is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone that you can be sure of heaven one day. You remember the words of Christ to the disciples. Very familiar words. And I'm sure most of us have learned from their very earliest of days. Words that you'll often hear read and quoted at a funeral service. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in John 14 verse 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What was Christ emphasizing and teaching and saying there? That he and he alone was the only foundation for salvation and the only way for you to go to heaven. You look there at our text tonight, and it's interesting to note what Peter does not mention in verse 21 of Acts 2 as being a foundation for salvation. You notice there he does not mention the church, no matter how orthodox that church is, and it is good for God's people to go to church where his word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. You'll notice also there that he does not mention the sacraments as a foundation for salvation. And it is right that God's people be baptized. And it is right that God's people attend the Lord's table. But that is not a foundation for salvation. You'll notice again that he does not mention here that the foundation of good works. There's no mention here of good works in this verse. And again, it is right that God's people show forth their salvation by good works, doing good unto others. As the Bible says, loving your neighbor as yourself, and that is important in the life of the Christian. But it does not make a person a Christian. Again, you'll notice that there's no mention there of money or of giving to charity. Again, it is right that God's people be charitable and give to God's work and give to those that are in need. But that is not a foundation for salvation. Peter mentions only here that the name of the Lord, only the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation for your salvation. No one else or nothing else. My, whenever you're ill, what do? You go to your doctor for help. You make that appointment. And you go and see your physician and tell him your need, your care, your concern, your illness. Well, friend, understand this tonight. To have God's salvation, you must go to Christ. You must go to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible declares that Christ died for our sins. The Bible tells us of Christ and says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he must bring us to God to be saved. You must go to Christ. By his atoning sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He made a way of salvation. He provided a way of salvation for guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners like you and I. And that was through his work upon the cross. The hymn writer, speaking of that work, says the way of the cross leads home. He's not talking there about a mere ornament of wood. He's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon that cross. And that sacrifice alone is the way to heaven, the way to God, the way to God's salvation. Oh, the importance of salvation. You must be saved. The foundation here of salvation, it is the name of the Lord, the person, the work of Jesus Christ. But notice thirdly here from this great verse, notice the condition for salvation. Look at what Peter says. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice in the middle of that verse, those words, shall call, underline them in your Bible. They speak of the condition for your salvation. You see, it's by calling in faith upon the Lord that you can be saved. That's how you can be saved, by calling in faith upon the Lord. There's a man I know very well, and he wanted to be saved from his sin. He was concerned about his sin. He was convicted about his sin, yet he didn't know how to be saved. He didn't know how to become a Christian. And in the providence of God, he met with another Christian, another child of God. And that Christian was faithful to his soul and told him to simply call in simple childlike faith upon the Lord for salvation, and the Lord would save him. And he took his friend's advice. That's what he did. In simple, childlike faith, he called upon the Lord to save him. As it says in this verse, he called out to the Lord. And he entered into God's salvation. That man is now saved for many years, serving the Lord as an elder in his local church, going on with God and being a witness for the Savior. But how did it all begin? With a simple call upon the Lord, calling upon the Lord to be his Savior, to save him from his sins. And friend, this is the way for you to be saved as well. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is the mark of a Christian? What is the mark of the child of God? It is that of calling upon the Lord to save them. You turn in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Just over a little bit from our Bible reading tonight. After the book of the Acts and Romans, you come to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 2. And look at how Paul here describes the child of God as being one who has called upon the Lord to save them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 2, he says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, notice these words, with all them in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. What is a Christian? A man, a woman, a young person, a boy or girl who has called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. They've called out to the Lord for salvation. You should picture in your mind's eye tonight a man drowning in the sea. And someone passes by with a life rafter, a life, but they'll call out, save me. They'll call out, deliver me, rescue me. And may they simply call out in faith to be delivered. And that's how a person is saved. They call upon the Lord for salvation. You remember the publican that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Luke. He cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He called upon the Lord to save him as a sinner. He came as a sinner to Christ, just as he was. Remember blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, who sat by the roadside, who had nothing to give, who had nothing to offer, who was poor and weak and helpless. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He cried out upon the Lord to save him in mercy. Remember the dying thief who was saved, who was crucified beside our Lord. The man whose hands and feet were nailed to the cross. He was in his final moments of time. What did he say? He cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He just called out in faith upon the Lord to be his Savior, to save him. Oh, friend, tonight understand this, realizing your need as a lost sinner. Realizing the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon the cross and rose again to save you. May you come in faith to the risen Christ. You confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. And in faith, ask him to save you. In faith, ask him to cleanse away your sins by his precious blood that he shed upon the cross. My friend, that is the condition for salvation. And listen to these tremendous words of Paul. In Romans chapter 10 and the verse number 12, he says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. The Lord is rich, I tell you. He's bounteous. He's generous. He's giving. He's gracious. To that man, that woman, that young person, that boy or girl that calls upon him for salvation. The importance of salvation, the foundation of it, the condition for it. Notice something else here from this verse before us. Notice the universality of salvation. Look again at what Peter says in Acts 2 verse 21. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice that word, whosoever. Right in the very middle of the verse, that word means everyone. who calls upon the Lord for salvation. You know, prior to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, as you read your Bible, you'll see that the blessings of salvation were mostly known among the Jewish nation, the ancient nation of Israel. But you know, after the book of the Acts and after the day of Pentecost, things were to change in a mighty way. And the blessings of God's salvation were known in a far greater way, in a far greater measure amongst the Gentile peoples of the world. You read through the New Testament and you read the great writings of the Apostle Paul, that great preacher and missionary. And Paul is known particularly in the Bible as the apostle to the Gentiles. Friend, what does it mean for you in this meeting tonight here in Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church? It means this. Irrespective of your background, of who you are, what you are, what you may have been, if you are willing to repent of your sins and to call upon the Lord for salvation, you will be saved. You can be saved. You think of the great words of the hymn writer. A hymn that we often love to sing. In the midst of that hymn, the hymn writer says these words, "The vilest offender who truly believes," that moment from Jesus, pardon receives. The Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will. What a word. This word, whosoever. You know, these people to whom Peter was now preaching, as we've mentioned, they were guilty of the crucifixion of Christ. Christ, the sinless, impeccable Son of God, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate for sinners. Peter mentions that to them in verse 23, and he mentions it again further on down in his message in verse number 36 of the chapter. Look at what he says there. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus," notice it, "whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." What was the outcome of this? These people to whom he was preaching, they were convicted of their sin. They were convicted of their awful sin and their lost sinful condition before God. How do we know that? Look at verse 37. Look at what it says. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were concerned about their state before God, concerned about their soul, concerned about their sin, concerned about where they were going in eternity. And in their concern, you notice Peter's faithfulness to their souls. He tells them to repent of their sins and to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Look at verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you," notice it, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He told them to repent of their sin, to get right with God, and put their faith and trust in Christ for the remission, the forgiveness of all of their sins. Did they heed the message of the preacher? The message of the evangelist who was faithful to their soul that day? Praise God, they did. Look at verse number 41 of the same chapter. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them," notice it, "about 3,000 souls." They gladly received the word of Peter, the preacher. The evangelists, they didn't laugh at it. They didn't mock it. They didn't turn away their ears from what Peter had said. They repented. They believed on Christ. They gladly received his word. These were Jerusalem sinners. No harder sinners in the face of God's earth. Who had taken Christ and crucified him. Who had turned their back upon him in a previous time. But now such was the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit, in their life. They cried out to Peter and the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They heeded the message of the gospel. And they gladly received the word of God and trusted Christ to be their Savior. Dear friend, if these Jews in Jerusalem could be saved in the day of the Apostle Peter, my friend in this meeting tonight, there's hope for you. Why? Because Jesus says, and Jesus cannot lie, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My, if you're willing to turn away from your sin and repent of it and come in faith to Christ, Christ will not turn you away. He will save you. It has been said of this great word, whosoever, that it excludes none and that it includes all. What a word it is in the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No matter who you are tonight, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, good or bad, as it might be seen in the eyes of men, you can be saved. If you're willing to come as a repentant sinner to Christ and to call upon him in simple childlike faith for your salvation. Oh, the universality of salvation. This is why missionaries go to the ends of the earth to preach the good news of the gospel. But notice also here tonight from our text, notice the certainty of God's salvation. You look again at our verse, notice what Peter says. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You notice there in that verse the double mention of the word shall. It's not without coincidence. It's vitally important. It shows you that the absolute certainty of God's salvation. Peter says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a certainty is God's salvation. My, the promise there of salvation, my, it is sure. It is sure for all who repent of their sin, and all who will call upon Christ to save them. Dear friend, if you come to Christ repenting of your sin and call upon him for salvation, my, the Lord will save you from the guilt of all your sin. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions from mine own namesake. That's his promise to everyone who calls upon him for salvation. My, he'll save you from the power of sin. He'll break the fetters, the chains of sin that bind your life. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's his promise to all who call upon him. And my, one day he'll save you from the very presence of sin itself by taking you into God's heaven that is free from all sin and the curse of sin. Remember what Jesus says in John 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. God's salvation is sure. God's salvation is real. It is genuine. It is certain. And let me also add that God's salvation is eternal. It can never be undone. What's the Lord promised to those whom he saves? He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Bible says of God that whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. The Lord will save you for time, not only time, but he will keep you for all the countless billions years of eternity that are to come. Oh, friend, God cannot lie. Tell me tonight, are you willing to take God at his word? Are you willing to depend upon this wonderful promise and call upon Christ to save you? Well, this night, no matter who you are unsaved, I encourage you to do so. To lift up your heart in prayer to God. Confess your sins to the Lord. Thank Christ for coming and dying upon the cross for you. Ask Christ to wash away your sins in his precious blood. Call out in faith to him and ask him to save you. Praise God, with the hymn writer, you too will be able to say, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood. Oh, there's nothing, I tell you, more certain than God's salvation. It's an eternal salvation. But one final thought, and with this we're finished, and it is simply this, the urgency of salvation. And you see that all through the Bible. And I think of one verse in particular, of Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What's the truth? What's the solemnity of the matter? It is this, that if you die before you're saved, then it will be forever too late for you to be saved and be right with God. You see, there's an urgency in this matter. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God says in his word, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you and I do not know what a day or a moment may bring forth. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You think of what we heard in the news. Was it last night or the night before? Family returning home to Donegal from their holidays. Travelling up through Monaghan, was it? And three women in the prime of life, good health, of all their plans maybe before them for the weekend and the weeks and the days that lay ahead of them, all gone. As a result of a traffic accident, three lives, three souls, taken immediately, suddenly, swiftly, in the prime of life and good health, out into God's eternity. The Bible says, in the midst of life, you and I, we are in death. David said, there is but a step between me and death. And friend, this is not something to play about with. If you die in your sin, if you die without salvation, all hope will be gone. No amount of praying will save you after you have died. No amount of giving or doing this or doing that will bring you out of hell. Your only opportunity for being right with God and being ready for heaven is here and now in this scene of time. Thus the Lord, he invites you. He pleads with you. He calls upon you. He says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What are you going to do tonight with God's salvation? You know that 3,000 people in Jerusalem that day, they were wise. Oh, they'd been foolish in the past. But praise God, they were wise that day unto salvation. They gladly received the word of the Lord, repented of their sins, put their trust in Christ, received for time and for eternity. Friend, follow their example. Come tonight as you are, as a sinner lost and undone before the Lord. Call upon him to save you. And the promise of our text is this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever, and you can put your name in there, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 292. 292 in the page 294. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. We'll stand as we sing this hymn, and thinking of the words as we sing it. If you're not saved tonight, make the words of this hymn the prayer of your heart. Come to the Lord just as you are, and call upon him to save you, to wash away your sins, and to fit you for heaven.